So now the last sound clip for lecture 8, and in fact the last sound clip for all the lectures, and this is about stochastic simulation or Monte Carlo simulations, or it has many names, and it's a fantastically important idea and fantastically useful. And also, if you're not deeply into methods and theory, it often makes it possible for you to do things which would have needed a lot of calculation, but you can do it by stochastic simulation. And the idea is you're interested in some distribution or some parameter of distribution. And then if you're able to simulate a random variable with this distribution, then you can use the empirical distribution function or the mean or whatever as an estimate of the quantity you're interested in. I'll tell you more about what empirical distribution function is at the bottom of the slide. So I forgot to say, slide 31. It's slide 31 on lecture 8. And it's now, to make the general things I said more specific, it's about Monte Carlo simulation of portfolio credit loss. And I first say how you do it, and then a little bit more about why this is the way to do it. So when first determines, you want to have a large number of random variables. You want to simulate random variables which has a distribution you're interested in. So in credit risk, these static models, the variable you're interested in is the total loss in the portfolio. So you want to be able to stochastically simulate the total loss. And to do that, you first should decide how many times you simulate. And what you do is you do it little n times, is a notation here. And how big n is basically determined by how big a computer you have, or how much time you want to spend on the computer, want the computer to spend on the simulation. In the simple situations here, you can have n quite large. And the idea is that the bigger the n, the better the approximation will be. So n might be something like 10,000, little n might be 10,000 or 100,000 or even a million. And what you do then is that you start first, you remember the random variable Z, the background state of the economy, and you simulate a random variable C, capital Z, and then you compute P of Z, which is a number in 0 to 1. And how do you simulate Z? Well, there are general methods for it, and you can look it up, say, in Wikipedia. But typically, if you have standard distributions, the standard program packages, you just ask them, say, if you want a normal distribution, a random variable with a normal distribution, you just tell the package, simulate a normal random variable. Or if you want a uniform random variable, you say, simulate a uniform random variable. And often you would also be able to tell the program package to simulate a beta distribution. So the first step, you now have the first simulation, so J is 1. Then you simulate the random variable Z and you compute P of Z. The next step is that you simulate an entire sequence of IID variables. So you simulate variables U1, U2, up to UN, where UI is uniformly distributed on 0, 1, and it should be independent of capital Z and independent. Each of them should be, all these should be mutually independent. So now when J still equals one. We are still in the first step of the simulation. Now we have simulated the P of C, and we have simulated the U's. And then we simulate the loss variables, Xi, as follows. You set Xi equals one if Ui is less than or equal to P of Z, and zero otherwise, that is if U is greater than P of Z. And this will give you an Xi which has the right distribution, or Xi's which have the right distribution. We'll look more into that on the next slide. It's fairly obvious, but maybe not completely obvious. So now we have simulated the Xi's, and if we now have a binomial model, or a model with a constant loss ratio, constant loss fraction, we're done, because then we can compute the loss in the portfolio as the sum of L times these Xi's. But if we have random losses, then we also simulate IID variables L1 of Z, L2 of C, up to Lm of C. And then in step 5, we compute Lm1 as the sum I goes from M1 to M of Xi Li of C. So this was the first step when you simulate. Now we've simulated one loss. We simulated the first loss, Lm1, and that loss is just by multiplying the loss indicator with the loss variable and summing up all the resulting losses. Then you repeat it, you do the same thing once more, so then J would be 2. Then you get another simulated variable of simulated loss, and then you go on. When you finish, you have maybe 10,000 simulated losses. And when you have that, then you can compute the so-called empirical distribution function. It's a good idea, maybe. If you don't know it, look it up on Wikipedia, say. I suppose it's there. But otherwise, in words, the empirical distribution function is just measured by seeing how many of the simulated values are below x. So if you want to have the distribution, use the simulated values to compute approximate the distribution function of the loss at the level x, then what you do is that you count how many of the x of the simulated losses are less than this x, and then this number divided by the total number of simulations, the number of losses, simulated losses, which are less than or equal to x, divided by n. This is an estimate of the distribution function of the losses taken at the point x. And this, the bigger n is the more accurate is this approximation. So this slide has now, you're supposed to understand how one of these simulations go. And it's very important, so you should take time to think through it. And I'll make one more comment which might help a little bit. So on page 32 is the motivation why 33 gives x's loss indicators which have the right distribution, that is, which makes the probability that Xi equals 1 given C equals P of C for each obligor 1, 2 up to M. So now next line, some notation, Fui of X is a distribution function for Ui. And this is uniformly distributed on 0, 1. So if ui of x actually is a straight line which starts at 0, it's the identity function. It's a straight line which starts at 0, y equals 0 at x equals 0, and ends at y equals 1 at x equals 1. Then by the 33, the construction, we have that the probability that xi equals 1 given c is with the xi's on the previous slides. This is the probability that ui is less than or equal to p of z given z. And this is fui of p of z, of course, by definition of the distribution function. But now fui was the identity function. It was just a straight line. So fui of p of z is just p of z. And here we've used that ui is independent of z. And the motivation, again, it says that fui of x equals x, since ui is uniformly distributed. So now we've proven that this simulation method simulates xi's which have the right conditional distribution. That is, they have the conditional distribution P of capital Z. So this concludes the motivation for why the simulation scheme on page 31 gives variables with the right distribution. So thank you for listening to all these sound clips. If you find things which are unclear, which I'm sure you do, Slack me and I'll try to help, or ask for more sound clips or other kinds of help. So I hope to hear from you. Bye for now.